Hey y'all, Poodle and Maddie here from Reality Gaze.
Grab your favorite thong because for the first time, we're heading to the villa for the new season of Love Island USA.
I can't wait to watch Ariana babysit these shiny, oiled up adults who I'm pretty sure aren't there for the right reasons.
From the home-wrecking bombshells to the absolute wreckage of movie night.
Pull up a daybed and join us every Wednesday for all the Love Island USA drama.
Find Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcasts.
Here's Luka moving right. He's got 40 points. Three-pointer by Luka. Good. He's got 43 in his return to Dallas. 2 minutes to go.
That was the call by John Ireland on Lakers Radio Network. As Luka Doncic, that was his 43rd of what it would be an eventual 45 points to go along with 8 rebounds, 6 assists, and 4 steals in his emotional return to Dallas as a member of the Los Angeles Lakers. That it kind of lived up to the hype that we were expecting it to have with Luka's return to Dallas. And it played out very similarly to the way that I thought it would. We talked about this yesterday when you were gone, but it was going to be emotionally charged for him. And he started out, I mean, he missed 2 shots right out of the gate, but then just did not miss the rest.
Yeah.
The rest of the game. The crowd was literally cheering for Luka Doncic. They weren't cheering for the Mavericks. They weren't cheering for the Lakers. They were cheering for Luka Doncic and Luka Doncic only.
There was so much that went into yesterday. I honestly don't even know where to start. So, first of all, they put the shirts on the seats. Thank you for everything in Slovenian, and it's like, whoa, you idiots are the ones that sent him out.
Yep,
you don't get to do this. He didn't ask out.
That's not a great look for them to do that one.
And then they
But they were also in a lose-lose, right? We can all agree they were in a lose-lose situation there.
Well, yeah, of their own doing.
Yes.
That's the thing about this. So before even getting to the Luka basketball component, they do the tribute video. And I cannot think of a tribute video that ruined a player more than what happened to Luka Doncic last night.
In tears on the bench.
He was sobbing.
Yeah.
Trae Young, who I don't like, had the most direct and poignant tweet of the night. He didn't want to leave, man.
Yep.
He wasn't going anywhere.
No. That's the brutal side of the
business.
And
it ripped his heart out.
Yeah.
And you could, and it was there for everybody to see. He locks it in and goes out there and rips their heart out. What was interesting was he didn't, in L.A., the first time I played, a lot of snarling, a lot of gnashing of teeth, a lot of chest pounding and thumping. There was real anger. I think because the outpouring of love and support was so strong to him from the fans that he wasn't angry. He was crushed. He was heartbroken. And instead of gnashing at Nico in the bench. Did you see what Jason Kidd said before the game?
No.
He was asked about the trade and historical ramifications, and he goes, you know, some people are comparing it to Babe Ruth. I think it's kind of cool. Not realizing that they're the Red Sox in this.
Yikes, dog. Yikes.
And I'm just like, I thought it was false act.
By the way, that cursed the franchise. That cursed the Boston Red Sox for, was it, 86 years?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I know you disagree with me. After last night, are you coming over to my side about what this means to that city and that franchise and that fan base? Because they're done with them.
No. When they win, the fans will always come back. Fans will always come back.
I don't,
when they win.
I don't think so. So I talked to people that were in the building last night, and I heard Mark Stein this morning. The only thing that they can compare this to, as far as the fan vitriol and how much, because Stein lives in Dallas, how much they hate the organization right now, is Seattle when Clay Bennett ripped the team away.
Right, but they're never coming back. Like they're still there. Like we also have to remember, Kyrie tore his ACL, and Anthony Davis got hurt immediately, mm-hmm. and that was one of the big reasons why everybody's like, dude, you're getting an injury-prone big on the bad side of his 30s. Not a good trade, but if they win, they will come back. Now, will the relationship ever be the same? No, because they broke a big trust with the fans. But this is winning cures all, and when they start winning again, it may be long after Anthony Davis is gone, they're still going to come back.
I mean, did you see the article that came out about how Patrick Dumont, the new governor, knows nothing?
Yeah.
I mean,
that's not a surprise. No. And look, this is what sports are going to be. Mm-hmm. Now that have genuine passion for franchises and sports no longer can afford to buy a team and maintain a team, and it's going to be a collection of billionaires that use it as an investment arm. Mm-hmm. No. Yeah, the days of having passionate owners are long gone. Yeah.
I know Dirt and Sprague had an old friend of the station, Gavin Dawson, on the other day, and he said that basically the fan anger and vitriol towards the team and the organization has only pretty much grown since the trade happened.
Well, yeah, because everything has gone wrong.
Yeah.
Everything has gone wrong. But
those fire Nico chants are the loudest chants I've ever heard in the building.
Yeah, and that was dramatic video. Somebody had a camera on Nico who's standing in the tunnel mm-hmm. as the entire arena is chanting fire Nico, and that man... surrounded by security, mm-hmm. by the way. There were security guards, if you watch the video, sitting on the stairs in the aisle, right next to where the tunnel is. He had security guards in front, to the side, and behind him as well. That man, you want to talk about the loneliest man on earth? He looked like he was on another planet sitting there watching.
I don't know how you can continue to employ him.
I don't either.
Well,
it's because of Dumont, what you just said. He has no idea what's going on.
I don't care. I don't care if you don't know basketball. You can't walk in that building and not know.
He signed off on it.
Well, no.
So, like, he for whatever rationalization that Nico Harrison had to make this move, mm-hmm. the owner signed off on it. And so he is so out to lunch that whatever Nico Harrison told him that convinced him that, okay, he's buying it at some level. And it's crazy.
If you boil this down to just pure business, I don't care what it is, pure business. ESPN is speculating that the Mavericks are going to lose over $1 billion over the next 10 years.
Yeah.
Economic impact. $1 billion. Okay. So just business alone. You've got people protesting outside your stadium.
Mm-hmm.
If you were the most cynical person on the face of the planet, and you think that the only reason the Adelsons bought this team was either to A, move them to Las Vegas, which is not happening because they're not going to get, they're getting $6 billion in expansion rights for that team.
And Adam Silver at this point cannot let that happen because of this trade.
Yes, 100%.
Cannot let that happen.
No. So that's out the window. So the other business side of this is the Adelsons have been pushing before they bought the team to get gambling legalized in Texas.
And a casino built in Dallas.
And if you're the most cynical person, you're thinking that's all they want. The public has to sign off on this.
Mm-hmm.
On earth, if Nico Harrison is employed, it's a non-starter. There is a 0.0% chance of it happening.
Yep.
If you fire him, it's maybe a 0.0001% chance. But it's none. It cannot happen as long as he is employed by the Mavericks.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I wholeheartedly agree.
So from
with
a pure business standpoint, how do you not fire him immediately?
It is, especially when you see competent organizations firing executives and coaches at this point in the year too.
And it's
I don't know. I don't get it.
Like if you say, "Oh, the owner signed off on it." I don't care. Have him be the fall guy.
Well,
he can never come back to the city.
It is going back to what you said. This guy he lives in his own orbit. He's completely out to lunch, is out of touch with anything that's going on with the Mavs organization. Whatever it is that Nico Harrison told him, he bought and he believed in. So I don't think he probably sees this as big of a deal as it actually is to the fans of the Dallas Mavericks. And that inherently is a massive issue. But I think that's an issue that all sports fans are going to have to get used to, including the Boston Celtics fans, because it ain't going to be, a person that cares about it's the organization that's buying it.
It's not a lifetime Celtics fan that won it, because they did. No. They had a lifetime Celtics fan.
You're not
his investment group was the one that came up short, and he released that big letter of like, let's see what happens when, you know, we're willing to spend.
Yep.
Wink, wink, nod, nod. It kind of saying, hey, the team they actually sold to is a VC firm, and they only care about the you know, how much money they get on the return. Let's see how you like things in 3 years.
This is how sports are going to go. And it's not a good spot, but that's exactly where the Dallas Mavericks are.
Hey, what's up, Flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday you'll hear us and see us chatting with big name celebrities.
And every Monday you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.